from Durham, North Carolina. This is a quartet called Mipso.
Does it make your heart beat fast? Turn it over hourglass after hourglass to the calm. Staring at a faded map, never stopped to clear a bed. Now you're walking alone.
Mipso will be playing at the Moon River Festival this weekend. This song, Hourglass, is from their most recent album. Self-titled, it's their first album released on a major label. Getting your music accepted and marketed by a major label is a big deal for any band, and Mipso were, as you can imagine, delighted. But they didn't reckon with the pandemic. The album was released last fall, and they are only now able to play the songs for an audience. Mipso is Wood Robinson playing bass and singing, Jacob Sharp playing mandolin and singing, Libby Roddenbaugh is the fiddler, he sings, and Joseph Terrell is the guitar player, and he also sings. I talked to Joseph on the phone last week. The first thing we talked about, you won't be surprised to hear, was the peculiar feeling of having succeeded in securing a major release while at the same time contending with the constraints imposed by the ongoing pandemic.
I'm proud of us for doing it. I'm proud of the songs, but it's true that compared to previous albums, it felt like a bit of a stillbirth. Like, we didn't have any of the movement, both metaphorical and literal movement, that usually accompanies the album release to remind us why we do this. We didn't play any shows in front of actual people. So it was a weird feeling.
I can only imagine, perhaps exacerbated by the fact that it's a really good record. So, like you, I would hate to see it kind of, I don't know, just sort of shuttle off onto the sidelines the way things do when the world is in a kind of stasis. But it does seem to be opening up a bit now. You're coming to play at Moon River. I talked to a lot of people last summer who, you know, we have a concert series in the park here downtown on Friday nights. And last year, that was entirely a virtual festival. It was all online. And so I talked to most of the people that played the festival. And, you know, to a person, they all basically said, well, you're just saying now. Well, we're okay playing outside. You know, people are making provisions for us to play outside, even in places where normally we would play inside. That was, you know, that was 14, 15 months ago, and we're still in the same essential situation. So I guess we're lucky, you and us, that Moon River is outside. It's in a nice park down by the river.
I'm glad about that.
Yeah.
We played the Three Sisters Festival there a couple years ago, and it was such a fun time, and we loved Chattanooga. I mean, having a river in your city, I mean, that's the way to go.
Yeah, no doubt.
I wish I lived in a place with a river. I love it, and we're excited about it. But yeah, definitely share your frustration about the last 14 months, and you know, part of it does feel like a natural disaster, like who could have predicted a pandemic? But of course, we had such a piecemeal and half-assed response in pretty much every part of the, every corner of the country, and that's frustrating to see.
I agree.
Yeah.
On a more positive note, you guys seem to have turned lemons to lemonade in every opportunity that you've been offered.
Well, thank you. We are lemonade experts at this point.
you've done a bunch of virtual shows. You were talking about virtual shows you played, and you said the same thing that occurred to me talking to people about virtual shows. You have no idea who's listening to this. Could be anybody anywhere in the world when you put something up on the web.
You know, we played for a couple of our virtual shows. We had a few close friends and family members in the actual room with us, and that made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And I was reminded of how different a vocation it is to record music, or which is to say, play music for recordings that people end up seeing and actually play in front of people. Is just having a few real live physical people in the space got me really excited and made me feel like I was actually sharing something with somebody. The visible and the invisible audience.
Yeah. So, you know, if there were a lot of people, like the kind of crowds that you play for, I'm not sure how I'd handle that, to be honest with you. How do you make that into a space that doesn't feel overwhelming, but feels, because the kind of music you make, there's an intimacy about it, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Hours of the night, you finish one, you start again. Oh, but something isn't right. Where's the cereal filled devil grin and the banister slide? Who could have taught him how to hide?
Sometimes I feel like it's harder to play music for a small group of people when you can, you know, see the whites of their eyes, so to speak, and really think of them as individual people who are watching and listening and potentially, you know, judging and critically listening. Whereas with a big audience, you can almost sink into the comfort zone of performing for the mass, the one thing without. But I prefer the former. I prefer really, like, you know, seeing the people, thinking of it as a real sharing of music from person to person. The more I categorize it as like a performance that's some sort of separate process, like a different exchange than I would do playing music with friends, the more I get into, you know, like trying to anticipate what people are thinking or trying to do what I hope will be received well, rather than just sharing and being honest. I think that keeping a key of, like, you know, earnest sharing of what you love in the middle of it is probably the most important thing.
Yeah, I think so too.
What you got to smile about? Ovary gurus and greens. I remember bright blends. How and when did the CBL seep in? Open the curtains. Let a little light in. Let a little light in. Oh,
Cheerio, Phil Devil Grin, Bannister to Slide. Who could have taught him how to hide?
And it helps that you play with, well, I think you started out as a duo, then you went, then you became a trio, and then you became a quartet. You've been a quartet for quite a while, haven't you?
Yeah, the real band has been a solid quartet for, I think, 7 out of 8 years of our existence. We started out slowly, kind of like gearing up into being a full band.
Well, it seems to me that there's some comfort in that. That working with the same people and having developed your ideas together the way you have, listening to the record, it's apparent that Mipso, or at least it would appear anyway, that the Mipso is very much a democracy. The singers change from song to song. The harmonies are beautiful, but there's a lead singer on many of the songs, and it's not the same person every time.
That's right.
Is it the person who writes the song that sings it normally or not?
That's the case, and that's what's usually true, but not always. And we did a lot of co-writing on this album. But yeah, I think that is what makes the band worth doing for us, is that, I mean, we're always, I think, trying to make something that's, you couldn't subtract one of the pieces. This is the kind of music that would only be made if the four of us get together. And like you said, we've been doing it for long enough to, like, anticipate each other's musical ideas and make space for them. I think that we started doing like string band music in a more sort of traditional sense, where the fiddle does a certain thing and the guitar does a certain thing and the bass and so on. And with this album, I've gotten a lot more comfortable leaving more space, which is to say, like, you know, I have an acoustic guitar in my hands, but I'm not going to just like strum away for the three and a half minute song. I'm going to play a chord here and outline a chord here, and the fiddle is going to play some pizzicato, and the bass is going to do some arco. I think we kind of like exploring the different roles that instruments can make, because we know what each of the four of us are interested in. So that's helped a lot.
I think one of the groups that your music reminds me of is Nickel Creek, because you seem to be essaying the same kind of fusion between pop melodies and harmonies with a string band. So, you know, the fiddle, the guitar, as you said, and upright bass. But the harmonies and the vocals seem to draw more from pop than from traditional string band singing. From the heart through the nose, as one band here calls it.
From the heart through the nose. I love that. I think you're right. Yeah, I think we look up to Nickel Creek a lot. We've been, I think, sort of less strictly focusing on acoustic instruments lately. I think we had this conversation a few years into the band, which was, what's the point of our band? Or is there kind of like a musical goal that ties us to string band music? Like, is our mission to make the music that we make with acoustic instruments? And we kind of decided, for us to feel most honest about the music we're making, the records we're making, we have to start from like a little bit zoomed out perspective, which is to say, like, we need to say, what are these four people interested in making right now? Probably it involves some acoustic instruments, because we genuinely love that stuff. It's what we grew up doing. But I play some electric guitar. You know, we have a drummer now. It needs to feel a little bit more like we're free to do the thing that's exciting right now, rather than like sticking to a mission statement or something like that.
You have a drummer. That's cool. That certainly changes the whole sound of the band, doesn't it? It gives you, takes you in different places. Our guest is Joseph Terrell. He is the guitarist and one of the singers in the quartet from North Carolina called Mipso. They will be coming to play at Moon River this weekend. This is from an earlier album of theirs, a song called Coming Down from the Mountain. If I'm not mistaken, I think you started out kind of sort of playing alternative music and then morphed into string music. Is that accurate?
Well, I got, you know, it's hard for me to say what the real genre of it was, but you're right that we didn't set out making real strict traditional string music ever. I think you could probably call any of our music alternative. I'm not sure.
Well, the interesting thing about the band from reading interviews with you all is that you have a strong sense of place. One of the members of the band said that he was asked why you didn't move to Nashville or maybe even Los Angeles. And he said, well, Durham, it's about the music. In Nashville, it's about the business, which I thought was, you know, a very astute observation. And it's more than just a different location. It's a different attitude. And you guys, you know, as you said before, you're making music first to make music. If people like it and you sell records and all the rest of it, that's great. But that isn't your primary motivation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope that stays true. I think we try to check in with each other every so often and make sure that stays true. I mean, I don't fault anyone for moving to Nashville. I love visiting Nashville, but I do start to feel a little claustrophobic after 3-4 days. Like, everybody's constantly like checking in on everyone else's business career goals. And I prefer, like you said, a slightly different order of priorities, I guess.
Well, I think maybe the name of the band says it all. Rather cheeky name, I think. Mipso, yeah. As I gather, it's from a Japanese expression where you put P in the miso.
That's right.
On the face of it, not an entirely attractive proposition, but if you think of it as you're putting something untoward into something that's expected, that's kind of your philosophy.
Yeah. I think we have, yeah, exactly. And at the end of the day, we enjoy what we do and have fun with it and don't take ourselves too seriously, which doesn't mean, I don't think that means that we don't take ourselves seriously. I think we write mostly all of our songs are really serious, and I you know, care about what they mean, but it's also a reminder to us. I think we built that reminder into our name, which is like, if you're not having fun doing this, if you can't remind yourself on stage that like, this is a joy, you're doing something that is about playing, not working, then you shouldn't be doing it. And I think that doing this as a career, like, you definitely have to dip your toes into some, you know, the unsavory aspects of the business. And also there's parts of the business that are fascinating. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's cool to strategize about what type of record do we want to make and how do we want to get it to people. But I just don't, to me, I don't love a band. I don't love people who are just like dripping with self-seriousness. It's like, you know, let's all remember that we're here for a short time and it's fun. We have the privilege to make something fun. And I hope that we remember that's sort of what our job is.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I do love some of the early, like the more prog side of rock, and also into the jam world. There's a certain attitude that a lot of those bands have that's very playful, which is can be very musically serious, but it kind of like it sparkles with a kind of, you know, a wink. There's something wry, and to me, like some of my favorite art has that element to it. I just think we live in such a ridiculous time that, you know, not to be too dramatic, but like we're, you know, distracting ourselves with pleasure all day. We the you know, comfortable Americans, and destroying the world at the same time. And it's only a matter of time. It's funny on some level. It's ironic. And, you know, I think my favorite, I don't know, I'm thinking of like the Coen Brothers movies. They're dead serious, but also really funny. Or George Saunders' short stories. It's dead serious, but it's hard not to laugh. And I think that attitude kind of just like it just sweeps into whatever we make, because I don't know, it's funny. Everything's funny, don't you think?
I'm with you, Joseph. I think that the fastest way to madness is to lose your sense of humor.
Amen.
And the fastest way to madness as a band is to forget that, hey, we're playing. That's the most important thing. We're playing. Mm-hmm. When you plan a set at a festival like Moon River, how do you put that together? And obviously, it hasn't been that you've had that many opportunities, I guess, to play the songs from the album up to this point, has it? Before, in front of a live audience.
It's true. It's weird. Normally, at this point, when an album's almost a year old, the songs have really come into their own and sort of transformed by virtue of being played 100 times on the road. And now we have these sort of like, we still have songs that feel fresh to us. They feel like we're still feeling them out. And I don't think that's not a bad thing. We're kind of on our toes, you know, we're really paying attention to what we're playing because it doesn't feel like we've done it a bunch of times. That's exciting to me.
I'm sorry. Oh, my Caroline.
It's an interesting time for all of us, isn't it? For us and for you. We're in exactly the same place. Doesn't matter who comes to see you, they've had a similar experience, and it's as if everybody's getting the opportunity to let's see how this goes. We'll start again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's, you know, I've always been fascinated by that. There's that sort of like buzzy feeling before a hurricane or before a big snowstorm or something, where you know that whoever you see on the street, everyone's going to be talking about the same thing because we're all like, you know, experiencing. It's a good reminder that we live in a society, right? You know, like we're given so many reminders that we're little atomic individuals with our own screens, but. The pandemic did at the beginning there, it was like, you know, for all the tragedy, not to minimize it, but it was like, wow, we are together. We're all doing the same thing. And I hope there's still lessons to be learned on that level. It does feel like we're kind of coming out of it all at different times and in different ways. And even throughout the pandemic, it really only affected some people and not others. So this may be a bit of a rosy picture of it, but I like what you said, that you can look out at the crowd and have some sense of what everyone's been experiencing together over the last couple of years. I mean, I hope that's true about us, the people who come together on some level.
Oh, my Caroline, I just heard the news, I'm sorry. Oh, my Caroline, I just heard the news, I'm sorry, dear. Another day's almost here.
Some ways, perhaps all of us have been brought to that place where you were coming from to begin with, that this is a celebration of community, of the art and the music of the community in which we grew up, and we are still very rooted, and we are, not to put too fine a point on it, in general terms, a rather rootless society. I think this is maybe a reminder of the dangers of that.
Yeah, well said.
You know, what can be lost?
Right.
Like you never had a lover with him, though I knew. Never swallowed heavy on the sly. Never cast yourself in the movie. All the faces shaded smooth. Playboy.
it's scary how comfortable people can be in times that aren't, don't feel like crises, despite the fact that we're pretty rootless, like you said. I think that, if anything, I hope from the pandemic, people got a chance to take a step back and think about how, you know, how fragile are these all these systems are that keep us feeling, you know, comfortable and, you know, safely ensconced in our homes. In other words, we need each other. I hope it reminded us that we need each other.
Agreed.
Thanks for the conversation, Richard.
My pleasure. It's good talking to you, Joseph.
All right. Talk soon.
Mipso will be here in town for Moon River this weekend.